Psalm chapter 27, verses 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, the opportunity that we have still in America and in our city, in our state, to preach the word of God freely. God, please help us not take it for granted as the one that presents it and the ones that hear it. God, please help us today and hear what you have for us as your pastor comes and preaches your word. Work in our hearts. Speak to us today. Help us to be better for being here today. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, Holy Spirit needs to empower our pastor. And, Father, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray today before they leave they'd settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me remind you how irritating telemarketers are. Now, here's what will happen. If your cell phone goes off in the service and we hear it, you're going to be pestered by telemarketers for 25 years with no way to block them out. So make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate, please, and that way you can actually get some rest somewhere down the road, okay? Listen very carefully this morning. Today is a day of encouragement. The service this morning and tonight are going to be specifically designed around the theme of encouragement. Now, I don't know if you need any encouragement today or not, but I do. I don't know what your week has been like or what your life has been like. But ladies and gentlemen, there's this thing about encouragement that we need to learn how to encourage ourselves. See, look in Psalm 27 today in verse number 13. The whole psalm, to be honest with you, is you can tell almost immediately from the beginning of this that David is going through one of those trials in his life. David spent a lot of his life running from people he shouldn't have had to run from, hiding from people he shouldn't have had to hide from. David knew his times of valleys and difficulties in his life. Psalm 27 is one of those. And when he gets to verse number 13 and he said, I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, the Bible says. Wait on the Lord. David said, I know God's going to come through and help me out here. Now, friend, listen, you say, boy, I'm glad you announced that subject today, Pastor. I need somebody to encourage me. Now, listen very carefully. You're looking at encouragement the wrong way. You need to learn how to encourage yourself, to find self-encouragement. Because, look at verse number 10 in Psalm 27. David said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. This is a man who's not going to get any encouragement from his parents, apparently, or his family, or his friends. He's got everybody besetting him. David knew that in 1 Samuel chapter 30, in one of those times when David had to run from Saul particularly, and he's hiding among the Philistines, who are Israel's bitterest enemy. He's living in the city of Ziklag, and David goes out to fight with the Philistines against his own people. And the Philistines send him back home to Ziklag, the city and the nation of the Philistines. He's away from home, out of his natural environment, in a city where he doesn't want to live, outcast from his own nation, now even outcast from his borrowed nation. But when he gets back to the city of Ziklag, an invading army came through, burned the city to the ground, and took all of his people off. And then those group of men that were with David that were there for him for everything, the Bible said, they took up stones to stone him to death. And now he's got nobody and he's got nothing. His family's gone. The city he didn't want to live in anyway is now burnt to the ground. Those friends who were there for him for everything, now they're gathering rocks to stone him to death. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I think it's verse 6, the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Boy, you want to talk about nobody being encouraged by anything but their grace, the grace of God. There's David. Now listen, now listen. He's lost everything, but he finds a way to encourage himself in the Lord his God. Children of Israel do that in Judges chapter 20. They're having to fight within within the own tribes of Israel, and they're having to fight against Benjamin, and it wasn't going well. And the Bible says they encouraged themselves. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's Paul, the great apostle now toward the end of his life. He says in verse 7, the time of my departure is at hand. He'd been given an execution date. Paul escaped the execution a few times of the Roman government, but this time he knew he was going to die. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And then down later on in that same passage of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, all of Asia hath forsaken me. He said, when I had to stand up for myself, he said, no man stood with me. He said, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened, and all by himself in that place. I've been to that Mamertine prison. There outside the Forum in Rome, I've been there and walked into that little hole in the bubble in the rock, as it were, that was formed there. And there he is, by God's direction, inspiration, Paul's writing, but the Lord stood with me. Christian, if you can learn the principle of self-encouragement from the Word of God. And by the way, encouraging yourself the right way. A lot of people encourage themselves the wrong way. And they try things that are only temporary, that just don't work, and they just don't last. They try self-encouragement. Like, for example, they'll say, well, I've got a good friend. Boy, they'll always be there for me. There'll be times when that friend won't make it. There'll be times when your family won't be able to help you. There'll be times, have you ever done that, gone to someone thinking, boy, they'll encourage me. My grandmother is in heaven now. She was one of those kind of people. She was an encourager. I could walk into a McDonald's and spray everybody down with a Uzi and kill 50 people and call her and say, Grandma, I lost it today and I shot a bunch of people at McDonald's. And she'd say, nice shooting, Michael. Way to go, son. It's all right. And she didn't want me to hurt anybody, but that's just the way she was. She was just an encourager. In the early days of our marriage, I called her one day to get some encouragement. And unbeknownst to me, we had driven through the town where she lived. We're in a hurry, didn't have time to stop. She found out about it. Yeah. I called her, I said, Grandma, how are you doing today? And I was waiting for those words. Michael, everything's fine. You're a good boy. I was grown, married, and had kids and everything. You're a good boy. And I was waiting for those words of encouragement. She said, you didn't stop to see me, did you? I heard you drove through. And she chewed me out. And I thought, not her now. That's the last hope I had on the planet was my grandmother, for goodness sake. And she just chewed me out and then laid a heavy dose of guilt on me and then hung up. You know, there's times you go to people and they're not there for you. There's times that you try things in life. Well, if it just got out of town for a few days and then, and your problems are waiting on you when you get back, that doesn't change anything. Christian, listen to me. Friend, learn the principle of self-encouragement, how to encourage yourself. Because if you learn to do that and you learn to do it the right way, then when difficult times come, you can be encouraged. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. Everything David says there is in the first person, right? David didn't say we had fainted unless we had believed. David didn't talk about a group of people. He doesn't have any support group. He's got a backup. He doesn't have a posse. He's got nothing. David's by himself alone, and he's saying, but I had fainted unless I believed to see. Fainted means resign myself to the situation. You want to talk about a discouraged person? Let me tell you about somebody who's just resigned to this thing, just given themselves up, just decide if that's it, what's the point of it all? Happens to Christians sometimes in their churches and things, and they just get discouraged with the whole thing, and they say, what's the point of it all? And they get that way in their personal lives, in their homes, or their families, or their jobs, or their businesses. And if you want, you're not discouraged yet, let me lay it on you this morning. It's an election year. That'll discourage anybody. The truth of the matter is, it's not about our circumstances. This is not about our situations. It's not about what you face. It's not even about what you don't have or what you do have. But number one, self-encouragement comes from who you are. When David said, he's not talking about, I did this on my own. Oh, no. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, David said. But it's the Lord and David. It's not David and a bunch of friends. It's not David and his family. It's not David and his circumstances. We don't know exactly what's happening to David in Psalm chapter 27, but I know it's not good. He's talking about enemies. He's talking about his parents. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He said, even when my best people let me down, he said, God will be right there. It was about David and God in that circumstance, and that's where he found his encouragement, and that's where you'll find it too. But now listen, now that means you need to know, and I love it in the Bible, how specific it is here. The word Lord is Yahweh or Jehovah, as you know, and it means a personal God. It means a present God, the God who is here with me right now, God. David wasn't encouraged by the Almighty God of heaven, and he's the Almighty God of heaven, no question. But David was encouraged by a personal God. Question, do you have that this morning? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Do you have the Lord as your personal Savior? You know, we use that expression. It's kind of a washed out neo expression. Do you know the Lord? I hear that so much, I'm thinking, that was kind of weak. How about this? Does the Lord know you? Do you have that thing where you can call on him and he really knows who you are and you know who he is? Now, friend, look at me. If you can't find encouragement with who you are in the Lord, if you can't find encouragement in that, I guarantee you nothing will provide you with any permanent, lasting, helpful, foundational, strengthening kind of encouragement. Nothing will provide that for you except you and him. David said, I had fainted. I'd almost gotten to the place in my life where I just resigned myself that this is the way it is. Just pessimist about everything, down in the mouth. Nothing's going to work out. This thing's a mess. Look at all the stuff over here. Look at this matter. Look at these things over here. And all you see is the negative things of life. And that's the way your life is. You know, Christian, you better get this thing right now. And who you are in the Lord is where you're going to find self-encouragement. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, that doesn't come in 5 minutes. Psalm 27, I know this, was not written by David when he was a young man. It was not written by David even when he was an older man. It was written in the middle years of his life. But back, all you have to do is back up 4 chapters and you'll see where David got this thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That great shepherd's psalm. But see, David knew the Lord as his shepherd. He knew him that way. It's a great story about many years ago in days when people used to go to places. It was before TV, which was a good day. It was before the time when people actually used to think. And they would go to places and just listen to someone stand up and give a speech or an oration of some kind. Sometimes a poem or a recitation or whatever. And people would just sit and listen. So people began to be professional orators. One particular meeting many years ago, a man stood up who was very well known for his dramatic speech and ability to express things. And he stood up and gave this unbelievably beautiful oration of this 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he went through the whole dramatic thing. Very impressive. When he got done, everyone thought, whoa, this is good. Then they had a preacher that was there, and they asked the preacher to do the same psalm. He was an older preacher, knew God, loved God, probably like 57 or something. And this older preacher got up, and he just simply quoted the 23rd Psalm without the intonation and the blah, 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 and the verbal junk, you know. He just got up and quoted Psalm 23. When he was done, he went back to the stage where the orator was standing, and the orator shook his hand. And he said to the preacher, he said, that's the best rendition of the 23rd Psalm I have ever heard. And the preacher said, well, but you did it so beautifully with the drama. And the orator said, sir, you don't understand. See, I know the psalm. You know the shepherd. I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's who you are in the Lord, friend. I'm sorry. If that can't encourage you, I cannot help you. I can't do anything for you. A person got upset with me one time. He said, I tried to call you and I couldn't get you on the telephone. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not always sitting right by the telephone. I apologize for that, but I got other things to do. And I don't always sit by the telephone. But I felt bad because I wasn't there when they needed to call me or get a hold of me or talk to me. But come on, 3 o'clock in the morning, who are you going to call who wants to talk to you at 3 in the morning anyhow? And ladies and gentlemen, question, the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps is awake 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And he's the God of the mountaintops and the God of the valleys. He's there for us. Now, do you know him like that? Because that's very important. If you know, it's who you are in the Lord that encourages you. That's where you better find yourself encouragement. Because David said, I'm right at the point in verse 13. I'm right at the point where I'm about to faint on this thing. Didn't mean pass out. He simply meant I'm about to the place where I'm about to resign myself that this is just the way it's always going to be. He was tired of running. He was tired of enemies. He was tired of the persecution. He was tired of the pressure. He was tired of the trouble. He was dissatisfied with the fact that people had let him down in his life. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up, he said. But he said, I got to that place where I was just about ready just to say, oh, forget it. We live in a society today of very pessimistic people. Whatever, and every one of them, you'll find their pessimism is born out of the fact that they see their circumstances instead of their relationship with the Lord like it ought to be. David wasn't saying I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, because he's saying, boy, there'll be a better day. He said, I'm looking for the goodness of God in my life while I'm living and walking this earth today. Self-encouragement. It comes from who you are in the Lord. Self-encouragement is found in what you believe God will do. Unless I believed to see. He didn't see the goodness of the Lord. He believed to see it. That's very important. That's a sight. That's what's called a vision of faith. To see, he said, I'm not sure. We don't know in Psalm 27, like I said, the exact circumstances of David's life. But we do know this. It wouldn't be the last time he'd be chased by an enemy. It wouldn't be the last time he'd have to run from somebody he shouldn't have to run from. It wouldn't be the last battle, the last struggle, the last valley, the last trouble. It would not be the last one in his life. So David isn't saying, I had fainted unless I believed to see all my problems go away. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He had an understanding that no matter what, God will take you through this thing. No matter what, God will help you here. No matter what happens, God is always going to be there for me. I know that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. God will take care of this thing. He believed to see it. He could see beyond the trouble and beyond the circumstances and beyond the battle and beyond the difficulties. He could see beyond that and see the face of God in his hand and his hand upon his life. Friend, if that can't encourage you, I'm sorry for the way things are in America, and I'm sorry for the political situation, and I'm sorry if your candidate did or didn't get in, and I'm sorry if the ones that are in now did, I'm sorry for you. But the truth is, I'm sorry for the way things go. I'm sorry the economy is tough, and I'm sorry that people lose their jobs, and I'm sorry that people get sick, and I'm sorry that you lost a loved one. I'm sorry for the battles and the struggles and the trials, but is that all you see? No wonder you got down in the mouth, friend. No matter you got hanging out so bad you could pick up carpet fuzz. No wonder you got a face on you so long you eat oats out of a gas tank and lick butter out of the bottom of a churn. And if you know what that is, it's because you're saved. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry for all that, but that's not what David saw. David believed to see the good. He had expectation of God's hand in his life. See, now that not only comes from the fact that you know the Lord and you're a saved person. It means you've learned that through it all, friend, God will still be there for you. No matter how tough it gets. Look, it's interesting to hear people talk about the economy situation. Hear people talking about the economy situation and how these are the toughest days in America. We'll ask our folks who've been through the Depression how tough this is today. And we're driving home the other night late, and we're passed down here by one of these casinos. 11 o'clock at night and the parking lot was full. I thought, doesn't sound like the economy's too bad. We got all these RVs out here, trucks and cars, and 11 o'clock at night, people in there pulling a one-armed bandit. And I'm thinking to myself, how bad is the economy? If it was so bad, those kind of places ought to be shut up and shut down. They ought to be shut up and shut down anyway. But the truth of the matter, it's just fascinating to me. I haven't heard of Seagram's going out of business. Anybody heard of Seagram's going out of business? Huh? It's interesting to me how this really brutal economy that we're going, and it's tough right now, no question. It's interesting how brutal things are right now, but it's interesting how the God who got us through the Depression and got us through the 60s and got us through all the rest of this stuff, it's interesting how that God is still alive, still sits on the throne of heaven, and still takes care of His children. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, God ain't dead, friend. You understand that? Bad English, good expression. God ain't dead. God's still very much alive, and God's there. Now, can you see that? If you can, you can encourage yourself this morning. And then that self-encouragement, you'll find is sustained in verse number 14. Twice he makes the statement that's key, and look at it. He says, wait on the Lord, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, you get self-encouragement from who you are in the Lord and what you see God can do in your life. That helps you. That gets you to the encouragement place. Then to sustain that encouragement, you need to wait on the Lord. Now, let's define wait on the Lord this morning. See, most people think wait on the Lord is passive. You just sit around and wait for God to show up. Okay, here I am. Drop that money out of the sky. Here we go. All right, I'm right here, God, sitting in my misery, sorrow, discomfort, bitterness, anger, sin in my life. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Go on, drop it on me. Let me have it. Give me some. Waiting on the Lord. They think it's passive. But waiting on the Lord in the Bible has nothing to do with that. Why do you think Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What do you need strength for if it's just sitting around? Isn't it fascinating how we get tired just from sitting? Huh? Unless we're watching television, then all of a sudden we've got energy for hours to sit there. But the truth of them, isn't it fascinating how it's waiting on the Lord has nothing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But there's no stopping in any of that. There's flying and there's running and there's walking. But there's no sitting around and there's no standing around waiting for God to drop the Holy Ghost encouragement on you. Waiting on the Lord is about being faithful to do now what you know you're supposed to do so God can come and bring you the encouragement that you need. We quit. See, he said, I had fainted. David didn't say, I quit. He said, I almost did. But then I saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So you know what you need to do? You need to stay busy for God, doing what you know you're supposed to do, and God will come through. What will He do? He'll strengthen your heart. He'll do that. There is no neutral in the Christian transmission, friends. You can't just coast. You can't glide along, and you can't stand around. You've got to be busy doing the things you know you need to do. And that's how you sustain self-encouragement. Waiting is not inaction. It is not passive. It's actually doing what you know you're supposed to do now while you wait on God to come through. And then He provides with strength, strengthens your heart. So get busy and wait. Now, if you've ever been in the military, you know what that means. Hurry up and wait. They rush you like a mad fool to get somewhere, and you stand around and wait an hour, and you think, why do we have to hurry up and get here? Because you have to hurry up and wait. It's the way they operate in the military. But the truth of the matter is, wait means get busy and wait on God. Stay busy and wait on God. Some of you folks, you're waiting for the heavenly UPS to show up and drop a package of help on your lap and encourage and strengthen your heart while you're not doing what He wants you to do. God doesn't move unmovable objects. He can, but God is always in the business of taking somebody who's going the way they're supposed to go and direct them to the place they're supposed to be. You wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He'll strengthen your heart, the Bible says. So the psalmist says, remember that now. You want to sustain some self-encouragement? You better get busy and wait on God. You better stay busy and wait on God. You better stay after what you know you're supposed to do. So now look at me this morning. What is it you know you're supposed to be doing now in your life for the Lord and you're not doing it? You're cutting yourself off from the source of self-encouragement. Well, I've had people say, I'm just too discouraged to do what God wants me to do. That's insane. That's like saying you're too sick to go to the hospital. That's like saying you're too hungry to go to Hometown Buffet, and man, doesn't that sound good. The truth of the matter, it's like saying I'm just too hungry to eat right now. You people out there who say, well, I don't have any appetite. Could I get a transfusion from you, please? Could I just get a blood transfusion from you? I would appreciate that very much because I've never had that problem in my entire life. Have I ever had the problem where I was just not hungry? I was born with my mouth open. I'm going to die like that. I know it. I'm not going to die somewhere in a train crash or martyr for the cause of Christ. I'll probably nod off somewhere in a restaurant. You know, the truth is, that's what we do, though. We say, well, I'm just having too many problems in my life right now to do something for the Lord. No. You don't understand something. You got to wait on the Lord. It means get busy, do what God wants. It's a literal expression of waiting, like someone who waits on another person to help that person with their need. God has something He wants you to do. Don't sit. Serve. Don't just stand around. Get busy. Go forward and God will give you the strengthening of the heart that you need. God will come through with the encouragement that's necessary. So let's get busy and wait. Stop looking for encouragement. You will find it in what you are in the Lord, knowing what God can do. Can you still see it, friend? Can you still see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? And waiting on God, and He will strengthen your heart. When David comes down to the end of his life, those last psalms, 8 or 10 psalms in the book of Psalms, they're all praise psalms. David ended his life not a mean old man. He ended his life a rejoicing old man. And how good God was. Because he had found through all the hills and valleys of life, there was a God there to encourage and strengthen his heart. And sometimes it got difficult, and sometimes it was good, and sometimes it was sweet, and sometimes it was bitter. And sometimes his heart was broken, and sometimes he had great joy in his life. And it's all the package of life. But David learned to find self-encouragement in his life. And when he did, through it all, David would come to the end of his days and say, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Because of who God was to him in his life and who he came to know God as. Question, do you know the Lord this morning? Salvation. Salvation. Having trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Have you settled that matter, made that specific decision to trust Him for your salvation and accept Him as your Savior? I did that, Pastor Johnson. Good. Question, how's your encouragement coming along today? Are you encouraged in the Lord? Are you trying to find encouragement? It'll be a byproduct of being faithful to God and doing what you were supposed to do and letting God help you. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?